Odds are, wherever you are, it's been hot, huh? Unless you're in Australia or something. Wow, it's been really hot. Hi, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Jim Norton says the thing that scares him the most in life is being the unfunny guy who thinks he's funny, the guy who thinks he's telling an interesting story, but really being a dumb, rambling ass. You're not talking about me, Jim, are you? He might be. We also all know people who are like that. Jim does know me. We also know people who are like that, who are terrible storytellers, terrible joke tellers, and they just don't know it. The characters I do are making fun of qualities I hate in other people, things that would terrify me to become. Now, Jim Norton in real life is actually pretty soft-spoken and quite thoughtful, not the same as his stage persona. I'm not saying the stage persona is fake, but it's a shade of Jim's character. And as I'm reading these words, I'm picturing the thoughtful Jim Norton that I know. Thinking carefully about what he's saying here, Jim Norton continued, every comic has that fear. Every stand-up has that terrible thought that they aren't going to be funny or that deep down they suck. The self-doubt, I think that's pretty common. And you do stand up in spite of that. He's excited to be back out on the road. There's this pandemic. Did you hear about it? Google COVID-19. You'll be like, oh my goodness, I missed that whole story. Jim said, I was afraid I wouldn't be able to do jokes again. In those 15 months I took off, there was a fear of going back on stage. Like, am I going to be able to tell jokes again? I just appreciate it so much more now than I ever did. Politics / topical. Jim says, I always attack the entire country, the left and the right. I think they're equally repulsive, but I like to attack the public. I think the public is the problem always. They're just updated things to do with that. The virtue signaling, getting or not getting the vaccine, people putting their esteem into these things outside themselves. It's just kind of attacking everybody with what's been going on the last couple of years. It feels great. I love it when people set up to get angry about something and then see where I'm going with it. Most people are reasonable if they think you're being fair. Jim's in Denver this weekend, another show tonight at the Comedy Works downtown. It says, Denver's great. It's a good club. The people there especially, they listen, they're focused. It's an amazing club structure-wise. The staff there really knows how to run a club the way every comic wants it run. It's honestly just an incredible place. That is high praise from Jim Norton. Nikki Glaser spoke to Laugh Button, and she says, I need to feel nervous and scared to enjoy this business. The second it becomes easy, I need to go do a challenge. You know, I went topless on stage this past weekend because I was working with Bert Kreischer and I was like, I want to take off my shirt. Like, what's that going to add to it? I loved it because I'm so aware when my shirt is off, I'm scared about what the audience is thinking. I'm sucking in. I'm also like, who cares? It's freeing in some weird, liberating, F the patriarchy way. When I used to smoke weed before, I liked doing it because I might forget my joke and that fear of talking and not having anything to say would light me up inside. So I'm feeling those feelings about releasing the special again, like, oh no, what's going to happen? Who's going to disagree with me? Who's going to be offended? But that's what I love about this. She was asked if she actually cares what people say on social media. Yeah, my biggest fear is comedians thinking I'm not funny or thinking I'm a gimmicky comic. I know I'm not, and I know that I'm a good comic. There are certain comics that we all know who are hacks, and we tolerate them, and they're popular. We won't tell that to their face. We all secretly know who the hacks are. And I'm not one of those hacks. I'm a person who is able to identify the hacks. Thus, I can see that I'm not. But I do worry about the, oh, she's just a sex comic. She's a one-trick pony, one-trick donkey show. I wonder who she means there. I'm just doing a mental checklist of who the most popular comedians are right now. And I can't think of anybody who's obviously hacky who's popular at the moment. Right? Mulaney, Gaffigan, Segura, Kreischer. I know some people don't like the Southern guys, but that its own style of comedy. I don't know who she would be talking about there. There is one name that is popping into my mind, but if I say this name, I will get so many angry social media posts, so I'm not going to say it. Glazer said, when I watch people do stand-up, all I do is nitpick. I'll go, I really like that she did that. I'm jealous of that now, and I'm threatened by her, and I don't want to watch the rest, or I'm like, oh, that was such a lame joke. What an easy gimmick to get the audience to like them more and to convince you that you're funnier than you are. I try not to do those things, but I'm sure I do some that someone could call me out for. But my worst nightmare is a comedian watching my special going, oh, that old trick. Oh, yeah, that old road hack trick. For example, the comedy fans listening to this, when a comedian mugs after a joke that really disgusts me, they'll do a punchline and go, and it was a red wheelbarrow, and then she mugged for the camera. I don't know. I kind of like mugging for the camera. Bob Hope did it. Johnny Carson definitely did it. Letterman would do it. She said, there are acts out there that I love and there are reaction faces that I utilize that are so important and crucial to comedy, but there are some egregiously used and they're to manipulate the audience into thinking you're funnier than you are. That's my biggest fear. The back of the room, what other comics will say about me and what I will say is I tried my best. I'm trying to do comedy that's funny, but I also do care about talking to younger girls. What I will say is funny will always come first and should come first, but a close second for me is trying to make people feel less alone and be able to laugh at things they think only they struggle with. Vulture asked Larry Wilmore, how did it get so tense and ugly with Comedy Central? You said at a certain point they wouldn't even talk to you guys, and that later you felt a sense of schadenfreude. Did I pronounce that right? Germans, let me know. When the network couldn't put together another late night success, Wilmore said, I don't mind being salty in cancellation. But we were up against some very tough things. People have to remember, I was in the slot that Stephen Colbert had, and he had a very passionate, loyal audience. They put his show on a pedestal, and my show was, I think, ingested by a lot of that crowd as the show that replaced Stephen's show. I was being judged partly from that standpoint. From the network's point of view, it was like, here are the numbers Stephen had when he was leaving. Not when he got there, but when he was leaving. How come your numbers aren't up here? It was an uphill climb. I knew from the beginning there was no way I could compete with what Stephen did. I had to be my own thing. It takes a while to find a show. Even Jon Stewart, who took over The Daily Show from Craig Kilborn, people weren't pleased with what he was doing at first, and it took a while to turn that into his show. Same note for me on Trevor Noah replacing Jon Stewart. People seem to like Trevor Noah now, right? Wilmore, I thought what made our show special was we were having a conversation that America said it wanted to have, and I'm like, all right, MFers, we're going to have it. Comedy Central wanted us to do games, things like that. I think their point of view was like, we're just trying to fix a show, but they never approached it like, is this show an expression of Larry Wilmore's voice? By the time we were canceled, they weren't interested in us. They hadn't talked to us for months. We were pretty much finding what the show was at that point. I think people really appreciated it. Many of our fans felt like we were a voice in the wilderness covering issues that others weren't covering. We were well-oiled to handle any situation that came up in the news. We could have comedy, we could have discussion. It was built to have both, and we could keep it real in each format and entertaining. One of the 8 billion things I do is I have a casual travel podcast. That podcast is called Travel Is Back. Every week, I tell you about a place that I've been and what I like to do when I'm there. This week's episode is about Long Beach Island, New Jersey. And as you listen to it, I'm probably at Long Beach Island, New Jersey. Maybe even listening to myself tell you that I'm at Long Beach Island, New Jersey. Now, the question is, am I just air checking daily comedy news or am I listening to Travel Is Back? Regardless, Travel Is Back is available wherever you get your podcasts. Last few episodes have been about beaches. Next week is about Catalina Island. And then I might do some Australia episodes. I've started doing some production on those. Travel Is Back wherever you get your shows. Let's check out Just for Laughs tonight. What's today? Today is Saturday the 23rd. Johnny Mac, why don't you know what day it is? Did you tape this on Wednesday afternoon or something? No. 7 o'clock, The Nasty Show. 7 o'clock, Just for the Culture. 8:30, Randy Feldface. Alien of extraordinary ability. There's only one Randy Feldface, which technically makes him a critically endangered species. Don't miss your chance to see this felt-faced wonder delivering an hour of blistering jokes in his natural habitat, the theater. I want to see Randy Feldface. I wonder if I have a shot at seeing him when I'm up there. He is there Wednesday at 9 o'clock, but I'm at New Faces. Maybe if I run across the hall, I can catch it. I might have to put in a request for those tickets there. So Randy Feldface at 8:30, at 9:30, second show for Just for the Culture on The Nasty Show. 10 o'clock, Reese Nicholson. Reese. How about a nice little hour where we pretend the last couple years haven't happened? That sounds nice, yeah? Nice little comedy show with your old pal, Reese. Winner of the Most Outstanding Show at Melbourne 2022. That's high praise as well. Now, he's playing Wednesday at 10:30. Maybe I'll do that. I think I asked for James Acaster tickets for the late show, but boy, there's so many choices. And then at 11:59, Midnight Surprise. Johnny Mac, why is Midnight Surprise at 11:59? Here's why. When you schedule something at 12 o'clock and you write AM, some people don't know, what does that mean? Is it midnight? Is that tomorrow? Like, for example, if I tell you, hey, the show's Saturday at midnight, do I mean, you know, at the very end of Saturday as it's becoming Sunday? Because technically it's Sunday and it gets confusing and the whole AM PM thing. So when you say the show is Saturday at 11:59 PM, people know what the hell you're talking about. Midnight Surprise. Love the description. The show's at midnight. The rest is a surprise. Those are usually really good shows. Speaking of Just for Laughs, the Just for Laughs Sydney Comedy Festival is coming later this year. I have to figure out some way to get there. Should I do the travel podcast from there and write it off? Can I convince someone to fly me down there and cover the hell out of this thing? Because Jimmy O. Yang's at the Sydney Opera House Saturday, December 3rd. They also announced Rockwiz Live at the State Theater on that same day. What is that? Australian television's original rock trivia show will make its first appearance at Just for Laughs Sydney. The night before, Friday, December 2nd, just announced Alan Carr, Regional Trinket. Alan's back on the road with a brand new stand-up show. From the exhilarating high of his star-studded wedding day to the low of lockdown stuck in a farm, a lot has changed since Allen's last Australian tour in 2016. The Sydney Comedy Festival, November 28th to December 4th. And let's stay international from Chortle. Nominees in this year's Edinburgh Comedy Awards will be showcased on Radio 4 the day after their names are announced. An hour-long gala show will air 11 p.m. on Thursday, August 25th, featuring comics shortlisted for both the main award and best newcomer accolade. The BBC announced a bunch of plans for Edinburgh. Other highlights include a new documentary on the history of The Fringe as it marks its 75th anniversary. The 90-minute show has the working title The Fringe, Fame and Me will air on BBC Scotland and BBC Two. Hey, that's why you're going to need that ExpressVPN that I read the commercial for every now and then. I know I'll be at my house in Scotland to watch that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Know what I mean? Say no more. Meanwhile, Mark Nelson will front a new series of Edinburgh Unlocked for BBC Scotland, which I can watch from my Scotland residence while I'm there, featuring some of the top names from The Fringe, first episode August 11th, two further shows August 18th and 25th, and a bunch of radio shows, which you're not going to listen to, so I won't tell you about them. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your shows. You can buy me a coffee. Here's a coffee that's pretty much empty. It sounds a lot like the coffee I was drinking on Thursday's episode, but there's no way it could be, because that would imply that I recorded this on Wednesday afternoon, which obviously I did not. So buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and I'll see you tomorrow.